sermon notes. It's hot up here. You're cold? Pull out your sermon notes, and you can see in there. So today we're going to talk about the message title is Look for Opportunities to Do Good. It's Christmas season, right? And so the idea, Christmas is supposed to be a joyous time, but too often it's not. I mean, you know, you'll get run over or rammed if you try and steal a parking place in the mall or anything like that. But we want to look for opportunities to do good. So one of the simplest but probably most powerful ways that we can serve God, that we can glorify God, is by doing good. Matter of fact, Peter described the life of Jesus in these words. He said, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So Jesus went around doing good. He described Jesus' life as going around and doing good. So we're supposed to becoming in our walk more and more like Jesus. So one of the ways we become more and more like Jesus is by doing good things, by looking for opportunities to do good. Now, I'm not just talking about thinking about doing good. I'm not talking about wishing we could do good and hoping somebody else would do good. I'm talking about you and me looking for opportunities every single day to bless somebody, to encourage somebody, to help someone. And so our text today is Hebrews 13 and 16, Hebrews 13, 16, and the writer says this: don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Now, look at this phrase, don't forget. Why would God tell us don't forget? Because we forget, right? I mean, you know, doing good isn't automatic. Automatic is just us being selfish and worrying about ourselves all the time. And so doing good, he says, don't forget to do good. See, I mean, life gets busy. Stress gets heavy. We get locked into our routines. Anybody got a routine? You might think you don't, but you do, right? We get locked into our routines. And if we're not intentional, we might walk right past an opportunity that God put right in our path to do good. And we don't want to do that. So here's what I want us to see today, and this is your first blank. God surrounds us with opportunities to do good, but we must open our eyes to see them. God's going to give us opportunities to do good. We just have to open our eyes to be able to see them. And in the Bible, I mean, some examples. Jesus in the Bible fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he seized on an opportunity to bless many, many people with what seemed like not enough, what seemed like so little. A little boy had just a little bit that he brought to eat and offered that to Jesus, and then Jesus did something special with it, right? So the next time, we may see a small task, but you don't know that it might be the first step towards something great happening. And so I read another story about a pastor who shared his experience at a drive-thru. This was pretty neat. After he paid for his meal, he felt the Holy Spirit nudge him to pay for the person behind him. Anybody ever felt that nudge, maybe in a grocery store line or something like that? Or the toll tag line? I did that one time. I'm not sure the toll tag person let the other person through, but I paid the extra. But anyway, he paid the person behind him, and it turned into a chain reaction of people paying for the person behind them. And so just an awesome thing. You don't realize that something so small to you might be huge to somebody else. There was a woman that started writing encouraging notes in a small town and on post-it notes. You know, we're tech now. It's all about text. But she was putting post-it notes. And one note said, "You are loved." And it ended up on the mirror of a restaurant, public restroom. And a girl found it and saw it, and it changed her day completely. And she said it just changed her day, totally revolutionized that. So we can look, there are opportunities around us. Y'all might want to just go ahead and silence your phones. If you don't know how to silence it, somebody can show you. opportunities to do good. Why? Because little things change things. And so I want us to look at that. And so write this down. God calls us to a life of doing good. God calls us to a life of doing good. What does it mean? I'm going to break it down. So write this down. Doing good is actually an act of worship. You may not think it. We think of when the worship team's up here and we're singing, that's worship. We think maybe of coming to church as worship or praying is worship. But the Bible says that doing good things is a sacrifice pleasing to God. Look back at that Hebrews verse. He said, don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. So when you encourage somebody who's hurting, God sees that. God sees that and he notices. When you help somebody with a heavy burden, God smiles when you do that. When you extend kindness, you're reflecting the nature and personality of Jesus. So look what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, we got this idea, I've heard people say, and Jesus said it at one point, but he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing when you're giving in the offerings, what he was talking about. And so what happened in that time, what he was confronting was people would give, and the Pharisees wanted to make a show of how much they were giving. And Jesus said, don't do that. But here what he's saying is let your good deeds shine for all to see. Seems contradictory, but here's what. He's not wanting you to let them shine so people can say, oh, look at so-and-so, they're such a good person. He's wanting you to do it in a way that people say, man, God is good. He wants us to show off God. And that's what he wants. We want to make God known. And so let your light shine so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. It's a difference in attitude and a difference of why that we do that. So write this down too. First, it's an act of worship. Secondly, doing good is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's like that we look at the Ten Commandments sometime like they're suggestions. No, they're the Ten Commandments. Well, this is a command. He says in Galatians 6:9, he said, let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, and this is what he says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Paul's telling us, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. That means there's opportunities all around us already. We just got to look for them. God doesn't ask us to create them. He just wants us to notice them. Make sense? Sure it does. Doing good is also a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness isn't something we manufacture. It's not something we conjure up. It's something the Holy Spirit produces inside us. So when we're walking in the Spirit, goodness is going to flow out of us naturally. But when we're walking in the flesh, selfishness takes over. And so we don't want to walk in the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit so God's goodness can flow through us, so his love can flow through us. The more we remain anchored to Jesus, the more freely goodness is going to flow out of us. So why don't we all do good? Let's look at some barriers that keep us from doing good. That's number two. Some barriers that keep us from doing good. I mean, if doing good is so important, why don't we do it all the time, right? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Let me just give you a few. One, we get busy. We rush from place to place. I mean, we're in a microwave society. We're all living rushed lives. I mean, we're going right down the task list, and we're trying to get from point A to point B. I often have said in the past, if I could just like have Star Trek technology where they'd beam me from here to there, it would work, but we can't, right? And you're going to catch the Manhattan red light at just the wrong time, and you're going to be there for 15 minutes, and then, and all that. So we get busy, and sometimes when we're so busy, we'll either drive past or walk past somebody who's hurting. And so because we're in a hurry, and we miss it. If you think about the Good Samaritan story, two people passing by because they were busy. They were in a hurry. The third one, the Samaritan, stopped. He stopped and looked at that guy and helped that guy. See, love requires sometimes that we slow down and maybe even stop and look at people. And we can't let busyness keep us from doing good to others. We need to be more like the Good Samaritan is when it goes up. So we get busy. Another one is we don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't be inconvenienced. Listen, there's a cost to stopping and helping people. I mean, it might cost you some time. You might not make it to wherever you're going. It might cost you, you know. We were at Rivard one night, and she got a call. The jail called. They had a lady who was like, she was really pregnant, and they're about to. They wanted to let her out, but they didn't, you know, nowhere for her to go. And so, we got hold of the New Orleans Mission, and we went and we picked her up. And but you know, it would have been real easy. We were at Rivard already doing something for God, but yet we took the time to go do that. We left it in good hands. Ronald and the rest of the team were there. And so we've got to slow down and look. We don't want to be inconvenienced. It might take some energy. It's going to take your energy, emotional energy. It might get you out of your comfort zone. Might cost a little money. But we don't want to be inconvenienced. And, you know, that our passage says, don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are, what does it say? The sacrifices that please God. A sacrifice is just that. It's a sacrifice. Okay, it's not going to be easy, not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be meaningful. And I think it was David that said one time when he was wanting to buy a field and the guy was going to give him the field, he said, no, I don't want to offer to God something that costs me nothing. And so we want, you know, a sacrifice is just that. It's meaningful. Look at this next one. We often also judge people. We judge people a lot of different ways. We think maybe they don't look right. You know, they don't look right. I read a story about a young guy named Josh who was, he dressed like some people today love to dress. He was in worn out jeans with holes in them. Now you buy them that way. I used to throw them away when they get that way, but he'd wear out jeans and a t-shirt. But then a new student came to a school that was wearing a suit to school. Now, I've got a friend who's a pastor. Every time I see him, he's in a suit. I don't know. I think he sleeps in a suit. I don't know, but every time I've seen him, he's in a suit. But this kid thought this guy was pretentious to be wearing a suit all the time and dressing snazzy. But then he found out that suit was a gift from that kid's grandmother who was sick, and she just wanted him to feel special. Change his perspective. So we don't need to judge people by how they look. We also judge people by thinking, well, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my help or whatever. Neither do we. Anybody besides me ever said this one? They got themselves into this mess. Or that's not my responsibility. Or that problem don't have my name on it. All of us have said that at some point, right? You know, so we judge people. And we don't need to judge people. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God does not judge me based on what I deserve. He judges me on what his love is. So grace gives freely. Aren't you glad for grace? It's not based on our worthiness. It's not based on love. God wants us to show grace. I mean, I could go on and on about barriers, but we're gonna stop there. So, but you know, one of the things we know, if we look at the scripture, doing good brings blessings. Look at Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Paul wrote this. He said, let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So doing good, we're going to be blessed by it. And I don't know about you, but I love it when God blesses me, right? I like to see God bless you. And so what are some of the blessings? Well, one thing God does is when goodness changes people. When you treat people good, it changes people. We had somebody that works at the jail who was just mean all the time to us. And I decided I was going to make him like me at some point. And so I just been nice and doing all this. And then we went to see him when his child was in the hospital. And he's been nice to us ever since. Goodness changes people. A kind act can melt a hard heart. A kind act can lift a depressed person's soul. A kind act can restore somebody's hope in humanity and even in the Lord. Sometimes the smallest good deed becomes a turning point in somebody's life. It might be a text or encouraging word. Another thing goodness does is goodness changes you and me. Goodness changes you and me. Doing good strengthens your spirit. It encourages your own spirit, makes you stronger in your faith walk. Doing good deepens your joy. Doesn't it feel good when you do something good for somebody? Doing good gives you your life purpose. It also aligns us with the heart of God when we do good things. Goodness draws people to Jesus. Goodness draws people. See, rules and regulations aren't going to win anybody to Christ. Hell might get them to pray for fire insurance, but the goodness of God. Look at the Romans 2:4. It's not in, just write it down beside your notes. I didn't put it on the screen. Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Now, some translations, NIV and New Living, will say the kindness of God will draw me. The goodness of God is what draws men to repentance. So before people are ever going to read the Bible, they're going to read your life. They're going to look at you and me. Before they trust what we say, they're going to look and see, are we living it? Are we kind? Are we good? And so your kindness or goodness might be the bridge that carries somebody to Jesus or brings them back to him. So the goodness of God is what draws people to Jesus. Now the fourth thing, how to look for opportunities to do good. How do we look for opportunities? Well, opportunities don't walk around announcing themselves, you know. And so, you know, they don't walk around saying, hey, here's an opportunity to help me. You know, they come disguised as interruptions. How much of Jesus' ministry can you remember was an interruption? He's on the way to see, to heal the little girl of the guy that came, the centurion, was a centurion, I think, came get him. He's on the way to heal her, and the woman, bleeding, touches the hem of his garment, and he heals and deals with her. Then he goes and raises the little girl from the dead. I mean, Jesus' ministry was one interruption after another. That's how opportunities come. Then maybe they're coming disguised as an inconvenience or maybe even an ordinary moment. So what we need to do is, in looking for these opportunities, look at the people already around you. Look at the people around you. Look at the people around you. I mean, we often pray, Lord, help us reach the nations. Help us to reach everybody else. And God might be saying, hey, I'm just trying to get you to get the person across the room or across town, you know. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about our family. I don't know about you. I don't want any of my family to miss heaven. I'm talking about our friends, our real friends, not the ones that, you know, our coworkers, neighbors, people that are around us that we see. That's who God's talking about. And so most of the good God wants us to do really in arm's reach. Knew somebody one time, he said if they were within the tips of his fingers like this, they're going to hear about Jesus. So, it might be a kind word at home, just a kind word. Kind words in small moments have huge impacts. I mean, think about it. It's always nice to have a kind word. Maybe a helping hand at work. I told you the story from Dr. John Towson a few weeks ago about where a lady at work, he was talking with her, and she just said, am I doing a good enough job? I don't feel like I'm doing a good enough job. And he sent her a text saying, I'm so glad that you're on our team. And he said, actually, I actually sleep better at night knowing that you're working with my team. And she texted him back, that's all I needed. That's all I needed to hear, that word of encouragement. And so maybe it's something like that, a helping, or maybe you're helping somebody. Another part of that story was a guy in the elevator. He said, you know, you're really good with people. I know you're good with tech, but you're really good with people. And that guy went on to become a counselor. You know, you never know. Maybe it's a meal delivered to somebody who's struggling. Maybe you buy an extra meal and get it to somebody, or a phone call to somebody that's lonely. Encourage somebody who seems discouraged. You know, a short text goes a long way, or send them a card. You know, check on an elderly neighbor. The people God's placed in our way, they're not accidents. When we run into these people, they're not accidents. They're assignments from God. They're assignments from God. And so look at the people already around you. Also notice this. Notice needs in everyday moments. See, we think it's got to be something big. They're starving. A tornado tore their house down. You know, Jesus had this unique ability to see inside people. and see the needs of people. I mean, for instance, he saw a blind man that everybody else walked past, and Jesus stopped and talked to him and restored his sight. Jesus saw a woman who touched his garment in the crowd, and he stopped and rewarded her faith by healing her. She'd been sick for years. He's walking along, and he saw a little bitty guy up in a tree in the middle of a crowd named Zacchaeus, who is a big sinner, a big sinner, bigger than anybody in this building. And Jesus said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to dinner with you." Changed his life. So we got to train our eyes to see what other people see, what other people overlook. We want to train our eyes to see that. Now, I doubt we're going to run into anybody sitting up in a tree wanting to see us, but you might. They might be hiding from somebody. So maybe, but some things we can do is hold the door for somebody walking behind you. You know, at the grocery store or whatever. Hold the door maybe for somebody. Maybe help somebody carry something if it looks heavy. I remember I felt bad the other day. I was driving down the road, and I was already past it when the thought hit. I said, "Lord, you got to hit me up quicker." But this guy was loading something heavy in his truck. I said, I could have stopped and helped. You know, but maybe help somebody carry something heavy or give your seat to somebody who needs it. Pay attention to the stress you see on somebody's face. Listen, this is my favorite time of year. I used to love to go to the mall and watch people. Pastor Kathy doesn't let me do that anymore because she thinks I'll buy something. But I used to like to go watch, and it was fun watching the guys who hadn't bought their wife a Christmas present yet, and it's Christmas Eve, and it's getting close to store closing. And you see the stress on their face, right? You know, but maybe ask somebody, "Are you okay? How are things going? How are you holding up?" And offer somebody. Maybe somebody's too embarrassed to help, you know, and to ask for help. So ask them. Look for it. One story was a family game night. A person refused to ask for directions on a board game, insisting that she knew how to play. Well, after messing up multiple times and ruining the game for people, somebody gently asked her if they could help her. That's humorous, but we do that in life too. We want to act like we know what's going on, and we refuse to reach out in the struggle. I mean, it can be a lot of different places. Nobody reached out to me the other day. I was looking for date syrup in the grocery store. Now, finally, after I've been down every aisle twice, asked the manager. "We don't carry that anymore." "So okay, thank you." It left. So it's in my Amazon cart now. Date syrup. And try it. It's really rich. It will jack you up. But we found that in Israel. It's really good. So it's humorous how we do that kind of stuff. You know, guys especially, right? Another thing we can do is look for invisible burdens. Look for invisible burdens. I mean, people don't carry their burdens on the outside. You know, behind the smile oftentimes is depression. Behind the anger is usually hurt. Behind the silence is fear. Behind the rudeness is a wound that's still bleeding somehow. That's why the Bible tells us to be patient, to be gracious, and to be slow to speak. See, our gentle response could be the medicine to somebody else's soul that they need. So we need to be patient with that rude person. They're hurting. We need to give grace to somebody who's forgetful or late. We might need that same grace sometime. We need to compliment the unnoticed. We need to compliment the janitors, the busboys, the waiters, the people that don't ever get thanked, and let them know they're important, what they do. So look for those invisible burdens. Look for use what you've already have. Use what you already have. Think about this. You don't need special wealth. You don't need a degree to do good. Just be willing. The Good Samaritan didn't have any training. He just had compassion. The boy of five loaves didn't have much. He just had five loaves of bread and two fish. You know, but he had a willingness. Dorcas in Acts 9, she didn't preach. She stitched clothes for widows. You know, just use what you already, use your skills, use your hands, use your time, your smile, your experience. Everything can be a tool that you've been through, can be a tool for good when we surrender it to God. I mean, buy an extra meal, give it to somebody in need. Like I said, pay for the person in line. Donate stuff you're not using. Now, clothes don't sell at the yard sale, so just go give them away. Give away clothes, blankets. How many of you got blankets piled up in your closets that you don't need and somebody somewhere needs those? Or books, tools, kitchen supplies. Anybody got more than five frying pans in your? Might want to give some away. I don't know. Another one is use your skills to do good. Some of y'all got some skills. I mean, if you're handy, help repair somebody for somebody that can't. If you understand finances, help somebody set up a budget. If you're gifted with encouragement, as several of you are, write a note. Notes go a long way. Everybody loves to get notes and texts that uplift them. And then ask God to open your eyes every day. Ask God to open your eyes every day. Make this prayer part of your morning right here. Lord, show me someone to bless today. You know what? If you ask him, he will. You just got to look for it. That prayer lines us up with the desires in the heart of God. It trains us to look outward and not just inward. We get too inward focused on how miserable I am and how everything is wrong. Or what. We need to look outward. Lord, show me someone to bless today. He'll do it. Look what he promises in Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He directs your steps. He delights in every detail of our lives. God will direct you to the people he wants you to interact with each day if you ask him to. And he'll show you the opportunities. He'll show you the opportunities. So what are some practical things we can do this week? How can we get it started? So write that down. Practical things to do this week. Here's how we do that. Number one. Do one intentional act of kindness this week. One intentional act of kindness. That's the beginning point. Then we need to develop a Boy Scout out. I'm going to do a good turn daily. I'm going to do something good every day. A one kind act per day mindset. You know what? You'll find yourself doing a bunch of kind things every day if you start that. Another one, speak the encouragement you think. I'm bad about this. I'll think it. I just don't speak it. So if something pops in your brain that's nice, say it. If something pops in your brain that's ugly, swallow it. I mean, don't say it to anybody. Speak encouragement that you think. No, another one is keep a small blessing fund. Keep a little bit of money that you might be able to bless somebody with. And I'm not talking about giving a drug addict on the corner of the street that's collecting money on the corner. There's a guy that used to be on one of the corners down here, and I think one of the times he got arrested, they took his shoes off, and he had $1,000 in his shoes. I'm talking about doing something good with your money. Okay? And somebody, maybe it might be somebody that's just a little bit short this month on their bills. You might help them. Whatever it is, a blessing fund. Ask each night, when you look at your day, what did I do good today? What did I do good today? Where did I do some good? And then in the morning when you get up, Lord, send me to someone who needs you today. Send me to someone who needs you today. And you know what? He will. Opportunities will come. So when people are unreasonable, illogical, self-centered, and arrogant, love them anyway. When people insist that your goodness contains selfish motives, do good anyway. If you're successful, you're going to win false friends and true enemies. Be successful anyway. If you're honest, some will seek to twist your words against you, but be honest anyway. If you do good today, some may forget it by tomorrow, so do good anyway. If you do good today, if you show yourself to be a person with big ideas, don't be surprised if you're opposed by small people with small minds, but think big anyway. What you've spent years building, some may seek to destroy overnight, but build anyway. Listen, the world is not looking, it's not lacking for opportunities. What it is lacking is people who are willing to see them. God's not calling you and me to be famous. He's not calling us to be impressive. He's calling us to be faithful. He's calling us to be faithful. Faithful in doing good wherever he places us. And remember our passage. Don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Teddy Roosevelt said this, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man or woman who points out where the doer of good deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man or woman who actually is in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, who knows great enthusiasm, great devotions, who spends himself or herself in a worthy cause, who at best is in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst at least fails while daring greatly, so that his or her place shall never be with those cold and time souls who know neither victory or defeat." Think about that. So we need to make the decision today. Make the decision today and say, "Lord, I'm going to live with my eyes open. I'm looking for opportunities to do good, and when I see them, I will act." I want you to bow your heads. I want our church to be known. I think we are, not just for what we believe, but how well we love, how well we love others. And all of this, doing good, it starts with you and me knowing Jesus personally. So I want to give you an opportunity, and I'll never not give this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're watching or you're in this room, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. He says in John 1:12, "But to all who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God." So we want to join God's family. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And if maybe you've never experienced that peace of Christmas, the joy of Christmas, the love of Christmas, maybe you need to experience the Christ of Christmas. And so I want you to reach out right now and just pray in your heart this prayer: "Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me for all my sin. Come into my life, Jesus, and be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit so I can follow you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to check that off on your connection card just so we can pray for you. Now, Lord, I pray, God, as we get ready to leave, that, Lord, in response to this message about look for ways to do good, Lord, that you would help us to look every day for opportunities to do something good for somebody. Lord, help us to see the people around us and the needs that they might have. Lord, help us to notice those needs just in everyday moments when we're going around to work or to grocery store or whatever. Lord, help us to look into people's hearts and see those invisible burdens that they're carrying, to use what we have at our disposal to maybe even use our skills and talents and gifts, abilities you've given us. Lord, help us open our eyes each day as we go about our business to see people the way you see them. And Lord, I pray that as we leave out of here, even today, you'll show us someone that we can bless today with a word of encouragement, a good deed, somehow, Lord, that we can be a blessing as we leave here today. And Lord, if we do that, then maybe it'll spread to the people that we did that for, they'll do it for somebody else. And Lord, we pray that it's done in a way that people will say, "I want some of what they have," and we can share your love with them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being here. We're so thankful. The band's going to come up, and we'll leave with a song of praise and worship. Keep Chrissy in your prayer. She's driving from San Antonio to here. Don't know where she's at on that trip right now. It's a long ride. But pray for her safe return. And so we're glad. How many of you said you could decorate for Christmas on Wednesday, maybe? Late morning would be, most likely. Probably around 11, and we'll buy a pizza or something for lunch. Or eat Wednesday night dinner early. I don't know. So let's say Wednesday at what time? 11 good? How many can come Wednesday at 11? Raise your hands. If you didn't raise your hands, raise your hand. All right. Some of y'all. All right. So what's that? You have a dentist appointment. So, all right. You got to work. All right, so we get done what we can get done, get all the lights working on that tree, and so get this place decorated up. And so let's stand. Make sure you turn your connection cards in at the door. There should be an usher at each door. They'll take your connection card. If you got a prayer request, put that on there. I know Christmas season, holiday season is tough on some.